Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Let's sing it one more time. Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth becomes one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe this song this morning, that heaven and earth becomes one in His mighty presence. As we recognize His presence, as we become more conscious and more aware of He who lives within inside of us and the life that we have. Amen. This morning I want to share with you what God has been challenging me in my own personal life. And for this recent part of my life where God has been challenging me to truly be one with the Lord, to be passionate about Him, to be zealous about Him, and to really, with all of my being, can I truly say that I am one with the Lord? And so I want to open up the scripture this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is my opening scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Or 17, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And this is what it says. It says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." All right, I'll read that again. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." So I want to share with you this morning about being one with the Lord. Being one with the Lord. You know, oftentimes we talk about the power of one in the house, but the first thing that we must discover is to be one in the Spirit with God Himself. Because if we don't have this, it's very difficult to talk about the rest. Is that right? Because in order for us to be one as a unit, to be one as a house, to be one as a body, is that we need to discover a place of being one with the Lord. Amen? Amen. If you can turn, the first thing that I, that I want to touch on is, want to touch on Romans chapter 6 here. And I will read the scripture first, and then we'll go through it. So in Romans chapter 6, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 14. It says this, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in the newness of life." All right, newness of life, okay? Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Amen. We shall be one with Him. Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him." Death no longer has dominion over us. Verse 10, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." Verse 11, "Likewise, Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful portion of a scripture. So God, by dying on the cross and all that He has done, He has given us the pathway. He has given us the password. He's given us the ticket, the entrance free to enter in to the new, which means we can let go and die from everything that's old and all the past things that's happened and enter into the newness of life. So that just as we are one in the likeness of His death, we can be one in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, the scripture here that I want to emphasize is that God wants us to be one with Him. The works of Calvary, the works of the cross, is that we who were separated to God because of sin, He did all of that so that we can once again be one with Him. So He identifies Himself as a man. He came on earth as a man, right? Is that right? So he didn't consider it robbery. Though He was equal with God, but he took on flesh, and the Word became flesh, and He took on our likeness with a body like ours, right? But yet He didn't sin. But He came as one of us. He identified with us. So He took upon Himself the sins of the world. Is that right? So that when we believe in Christ, so that the day that we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, when He took our death, what happens? We also share in the likeness of His death. Right? That's the reason why we are free from the penalty of death, because Jesus took it for us and we identify ourselves to Jesus. Is that right? This is basics Christianity 101. Is that right? Then what happens when Jesus rose from the dead? He rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the scripture tells us so that we also will also share in the likeness of His resurrection. That's the reason why we are alive in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Can I get an amen? We are alive in Him so that what? We can walk in the newness of life. God has new life and great wonderful things for us, and God does not want us to stay in what we have known in our past, in our previous life, in the works of the flesh that we have always lived in before knowing and coming before Jesus. But when we meet Jesus, when we know Jesus, Jesus wants us to enter into the new things, into the newness of life. There's a new way. There's a new way to approach God. There's a new way about life. You know, when there was unforgiveness, now there's forgiveness. When there was enmity, now there's reconciliation. When there was sin, now there's life. When there was death, there's resurrection. When there's sicknesses, now there's healing. When there was division, now there's unity. When there was hatred, now there's love. When there was unrighteousness, now there's righteousness. Unholiness, now God gives us holiness. And God gives us a new life. He gives us a new beginning. And so there's a new way of life. And so as I want to share this morning, I want to share as God has been challenging me to really become one with Him. Because otherwise we will struggle with everything else that's round about us. And so the first thing that I want to talk about here, as I opened up with the scripture in Romans chapter 6, is that we must continuously recognize and identify with Christ. Which means, because a lot of times what happens is that, like in the book of Revelation, right, the church of Ephesians, they labored well, they did a lot of things, and God was very pleased with that, but He said, you forsook or you left your first love, and therefore repent and do the first works. And what happens in our Christian life is sometimes, you know, we were on fire for God, we got born again, we are so passionate, we're so zealous, and we do everything, and we're so on fire, and then down the track, you know, the fire is not there anymore, and you wonder why. All right? And so, you know, so we must continuously identify, because what can happen along the way is that we get so involved in doing church works, doing all this and doing all of that and being so busy in life that we lose sight of the power of the life of Jesus Christ, what he did, the gospel. What is this gospel that we're meant to be excited about? We lose that message. Because why? We are so involved and we're so busy, and maybe certain circumstances have come along our way, and our emphasis and our focus is no longer on Christ. Our emphasis is on the problem. But as God is working in my life to continuously think, the power of his life, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection, and his power of his glorification is so powerful that if I can continuously identify the life that I have, I can live a victorious life. Amen? Is that right? I can live a victorious life because of all that he has done for me. I must set my mind on him and on Christ. It's such a powerful life. And so, you know, oftentimes when I'm discouraged at times, or maybe whatever I'm going through, I oftentimes say this to myself: Jesus did too much. He paid too great of the price for me to live defeated. Is that right? Okay. Maybe you can use this when you feel a little bit down and depressed. You know, it helps me to realize. I mean, it helps me to think and set my mind right and really say that if really God has given us so much, if he has done this much, it was not for me to continue to live in defeat. Amen? So I encourage myself. I say, oh God, you did too much. Your blood is far worth the little trouble that we have. Is that right? Amen. Scripture in Romans tells us the glory is far better than all the sufferings that we can possibly think. Anyway, this is what he says in Romans 8:18, right? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the first thing that I'm sharing with you this morning is that we got to identify with Christ and identify with his death, with his burial, with his resurrection, with his ascension and his glorification, because that's the only way that we are one with him. It is through this process, and continuously, daily, we got to recognize that this is our life. All right? Never lose sight of this beautiful, beautiful thing that happened in our lives, because at our born-again experience, what happens? Christ comes to live in us. Is that right? So we become born again. We become a new, you help me? New creation in Christ Jesus, which means that the old man has been crucified. The old man is dead. The old man is done away with. All right? All right? Unless you exercise resurrection. No, don't. Okay. You don't, right? But he's dead as far as we're concerned. If Jesus comes in, he gives us life. We have resurrected life. Old man is dead. I have a new life of Christ in the inside of me. So I am a new creation. I identify in his death, burial, resurrection, in his victory, and in his life. Because the life that he lives to God. The life that I live to God. This is my life. This is my life. And it's a powerful life. Because 2 Peter tells us that we can partake of this divine nature. We are born again with a divine nature. All right? So when we are new creation, we are a new creation. Is that right? You're not old and new. That's why the scripture said, behold, if anyone be in Christ, all things have become new, which means you are new. You are brand new, right? Christ's life is in the inside of us, nothing else. Right? And we have to identify with that so that we can recognize on a daily basis, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Amen. Because this identification is to really know that this is who we are in Christ, and that consciousness will help us to become one with him, because everything that he did was so that we can share in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of resurrection, in the likeness of his abundance, in the likeness of his life that we can draw in. Amen? Amen. So if we want to be one with the Lord, identify with Christ. He's our life. He's our portion. Amen. Number two is something I'm really working on, is to build, or to be conscious of his presence, to be God conscious, All right? The consciousness of his presence. The consciousness of his presence. We are more conscious because we live in a physical and a natural world. It is easier to be more conscious to be what's happening around us rather than being conscious of he who is inside, because we are so used with the life of the flesh and the life of the natural realm, and we're very familiar with that. And so it is easier to be conscious, so that, you know, I mean, really, let's be honest with one another. If someone just walks at the back here and makes a bit of noise, you will turn around and look, even though you don't want to look. But just, it's something just, we just, all right? Or even if you don't, someone else will, okay? And because it's to show that we are more conscious about our surrounding rather than being more conscious of the one that's the inside of us. And so I'm really asking the Lord to help me with this aspect of my life, to be conscious of his presence all the time, rather than being sin conscious or circumstance conscious or conscious about everything that's around us. Be conscious of what God is doing. Like what Pastor Joseph shared, the prophetic word, there's calamity, there's darkness in the world, but there's a contrast. In the church, there's great things, exciting things, and God is building his church. So, but we are more prone to think about, oh, look, this is happening. This happened to last week. This happened to Air Asia, and this happened. This shooting happened, and these people die, and this on the news, and that on the news, and the economy is down. It's hard to find a job, and it's all kind of thing. Because why? The moment you open up. I don't know how you read the news, but the moment you whatever you use, I don't know whether you actually buy newspapers these days, but you can easily get it on your phone, right? So when you read the news, you know, the first things that comes, you don't see positive things, do you? The breaking news, they break you into pieces, don't they? It's true. No, they really do. There's nothing exciting. Maybe some of you, if you read your sports section and your live sport and your team one, maybe that's exciting news to you. All right, but as far as the world is concerned, there's nothing good that's coming out, right? And so we live on in this, you know, without being aware of this, what this happens is we surround ourselves with gloominess and, oh man, this is not, if that brings limitation in our minds, such that if we start to think about, okay, we're going to reach out to some people as, oh, but, you know, this is happening around the world, and it brings limitation into our minds. Is that right? But God has to help us to be conscious of his presence. To be more aware of his presence. All right? God is everywhere. God lives in the inside of us. And to be more aware that, you know, that we are not alone. That Christ's life is in the inside of me. And if I can be conscious of that more and more, you never feel like you're alone. Is that right? Let's build that consciousness. The consciousness that he's here, so that every time that we are coming here to worship, or even that every time we gather together, we come with a sense of, Lord, you're here, and I'm here to worship you. It's when we have lost the sight of this, is that we come here, and that's where we just sing songs, and hear just another message, and just have a good time, and then we say we've had good fellowship, and then we're happy, we're content with that, because we have lost the focus of, okay, the reason why I'm here is, I want to be conscious of his presence, all right? His presence is here. We want to see a manifested his manifested presence, but if we're not conscious about him, we won't see it. Is that right? But the more we become more sensitive and really come with a right mindset and really open our hearts and say, Lord, here I am. We are undone, like the song says. We build God consciousness. Let me touch on the last one. So identify with Christ. Conscious of his presence. And the last one I want to talk about is to build the mind of Christ. All right, we're talking about being one with the Lord. So we need to identify with him because he wants us to be where he is, sharing the likeness of his resurrection, to be seated with him in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and dominion and might, to be conscious of his presence because we were made to be with him. He desires to dwell in our midst. He's building himself a spiritual house for himself so that he can dwell in. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. The last one I want to talk about is build. It ties into the consciousness of God, because you got to build, we have to, and I have to build the mind of Christ. Which the mind of my spirit must agree with the mind which of my natural mind. And we have to build that. I want to read Isaiah 55. We'll close shortly in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. What does it say? It says, Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God. For he will have abundant pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, when we are born again, we say that we have a new creation inside of us. Is that right? That means we are righteous, we've been set free, blood of Jesus washes us, cleanses us, gives us new lives. We are reconciled to God, we are forgiven, we have access to the throne room of grace. We can be loved, we have access to God, and we can fellowship with God. We have all of that. But yet what the problem is a problem is in our mind, right? It's not that we haven't got a new nature in us, we have the nature of Christ, but our minds is the problem. Now, this is what it says here. And this is what I want to link here, is this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor are your ways, sorry, my ways. Which means the ways and the thoughts are connected. If we have the thoughts of God, we would have the ways of God. Right? If we have the ways of God, which means we have the thoughts of God. But unless we have the thoughts of God, the way God thinks, we will realize that we have different ways. And how do we agree unless all of our being agree? We can agree with our spirit, but unless our mind agree and says, this is what I want to do, you know, we still live in a divided life. All right, so thoughts, my thoughts are higher than yours. So I want to build the mind of Christ, because unless I have the mind of Christ, my ways will manifest in a different way. If I have my own thinking about how I should handle finance, for example, I have my own ways and not God's ways, then obviously the results, sorry, if I have my thoughts, right, then the results will be I'm doing it my way, like Frank Sinatra said, right? And then what happens? We do it our way and we get into trouble. But if we do it God's way, then we have the right results. But how do we do that unless we learn to agree with the mind of Christ? Amen? Amen? Our mind runs in many, our mind runs very fast in many directions too. You know, and this is the thing that we need to learn how to master our minds. Our minds is the battlefield. Because as long as we have our own opinion about what the Word of God says, not God's opinion, but our opinion of what it should be, we will always be coming against God. We will never be united with God. I want to leave you with this scripture just before I pray. When we look at the life of Elijah, do you remember the story of Elijah? How, what did he do? He defeated 450 prophets, the prophets of Baal, when they were saying, okay, let's see whose God is real, right? Then what happens? And then after that, in chapter, I think it's chapter 18 or 19, what happens is that Jezebel says, let the gods do to me more so if I do not make one of your life like those, you know, who died. So he's basically saying, if You know, if I don't, you know, I'm after your life and I'm going to make you, you know, into, I'm going to make you dead meat. All right? So what happens here is that, now you got to remember that Elijah defeated 450 prophets. He's like strong. Is that right? Then Jezebel spoke the word. Or spoke, not the word, the word, but she spoke some words of intimidation. She said, I'm after you. And so what happens is the words that he hears, that Elijah heard, that became a handicap and that crippled him. And then what did he do? He ran for his life. All right? So usually you think 400 prophets of Baal he defeated and one lady. All right? But the frequency that she was sending out caused fear and gripped him. And his mind would be around this thought, I'm the only one left and there's no one here with me and I'm running for my life. And so he ran away. And so what happens is, cut a long story short, is he goes onto the mountain. What happens? When he's a mountain, he all these kinds of things are happening. Fire, wind, earthquakes, and all these things. The rocks are falling. What does the scripture tell us? That God was not in the rocks. He was not in the fire. And he was not in any of those things. But then in the midst of that, he heard a still, small voice. Is that right? Right. And so what I'm trying to say here this morning is that our minds run very fast. We are so thinking so many things, but we are failing to hear the still, small voice because of what someone has said or because of something that has happened. All right, and so we got to guard our minds and to continuously think along the lines of what God is saying. Take what God is saying in as far as His revealed word for today, for the now, as far as His prophetic word, what He's saying about my destiny, about my future, and what does the Bible say in regards to this? If this is the right thing to do, then I need to do it. All right, otherwise I'm a hypocrite. Is that right? If the word says do this, then that's how I have to do it. So I have to build my mind to think, okay, this is the way of God. I have to think that way, because if I don't think that way, I won't do that way. And we cannot be one with Him unless our mind agrees with what God is saying. Temptation came to the mind with Adam and Eve, or with Eve, when the serpent came. What did she say? Did you not know that if you eat of the fruit, you will be like God? But we know in Genesis when God created man and woman, what did He say? He created man. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. So what Eve failed to recognize that she failed to recognize that she already had the image and the likeness of Christ. And so the devil has to do is to say a few words here and there and disrupt, like what the devil said to Elijah, oh, I'm going to come after your life. So now he's confused and now he's running for his life. So now Eve is saying, if I eat it, truly, maybe I will become like God. But the problem is she wasn't well versed with what God has said. She touched it and said, well, I didn't die, so that means if I eat it, then that means hallelujah. But what happened is when they eat of the fruit, they died, right? And Adam ate it and they died. So what we fail to recognize is a lot of times we have, but we don't recognize it because we don't set our minds on those things, and so we leave defeated. We don't know that we have such a powerful life to be one with the Lord. We don't identify with Him. We're not conscious of His presence. Our mind is battling. Well, even though God's words say this, but I choose not to do that because I have this happening in my life and this and that and that. And so, but if we can't handle those things, then how can we be one with the Lord? Is that right? You know, as I felt this morning, you know, I saw like a serpent. You know, just a serpent like talking, you know, and that reminded me, that straight away brought me to the scripture in Genesis, how the serpent was talking to Eve and deceived the woman, right? Because the woman gave way to what she was hearing rather than what God was saying. So she gave heed to other voices. And so I want to pray this morning. If you're going through something like, you know, you are hearing, when I say hearing other voices, it could be in any way. Maybe you are hearing an actual voice. Or maybe you are hearing, you know, someone's been talking to you and bringing negative thoughts, or something is being saying, and you know, and something is just playing in your mind and continuously replaying, continuously talking in your mind. We want to break this power this morning. Amen. As I saw this serpent is talking, we're going to cut off the power of darkness right now in the name of Jesus, so that the voice of God will be louder than the voice of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There'll be God consciousness. There'll be God consciousness. Our minds, we will make a decision. We make the decisions to choose, because when God overcame the death and gave us victory, He gave us power to overcome sin. He gave us power to choose. We have the power to choose what is right in the name of Jesus. So right now, if you've been harassed in your mind, be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. We cut off every voice of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless you right now in the name of Jesus. I have two more things. I saw a spine. So if you have a back problem or a spine issue, you know, I believe, you know, sometimes maybe you've had back issues, but you know, it seems to go away, but it comes back. But I believe God will do something to your spine right now, to deal with the root problem and be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare new spine in Jesus' name. New spine in Jesus' name. I also saw one more thing. I saw like a ball. I don't know what it was, but I saw it disappearing. I saw it like dissolving. That's the word. It was dissolving until it disappeared. It's like a ball, I don't really know what it is, but I saw it disappearing. I have no idea what cancer looks like. I've never done science class. But if you've been diagnosed with cancer this morning, we cancel in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. You know, I remember, I think Dino will share this in the future, but he said that the cause of cancer is a rebelling cells that has rebelled in the body. So for every rebelling cells in the body right now, we command you to go in order right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You will function the way you are to function. We speak health in Jesus' name into the body. Resurrection life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak even healthy cells in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Even right now in the house, cells are coming together in Jesus' name, so that the body of Christ will be healthy in Jesus' name. Every rebellion in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak hope. We speak life of Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God gives us such a hope and such a future that we don't have to live a defeated life. God wants us to be one with Him. And He has done so much for us to enter in. We don't have to live in the old. We can identify with Him. We can be conscious of Him by letting go of all other distractions and allow our minds to think the way God thinks. God gives us a bright future. God gives us abundant life. And I'm praying this for myself, and I pray this for all of us to walk in this dimension of life where we don't have to worry about what people say, what people think, but that we can trust and be conscious and always ever be conscious of the presence of God, of His Word, and of His works. His Word, His works. Amen? Be conscious of His works. Sorry, His Word first, the Word of God. His works, everything that He has done in our lives. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.